and welcome to another edition of Prioritizing, a married couple's faith-based insight into what is most important in education, in marriage, and in life. You're joined today by that married couple, Samantha and Michael. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is another 5 a.m. edition of Prioritizing. We are not prioritizing very well lately, Samantha and I. We've been getting very busy as the school weeks are winding down, and we are recording again on Thursday morning. But that's okay. It gives us a nice morning to spend together, doesn't it, Samantha?
It does.
Last week, we touched on the final weeks of school, how to make sure that your class ends on a good note and smoothly and avoids the chaos. And Samantha's solution was, drumroll...
keep the structure.
I thought you were the movie gal. Weren't you the movie guru?
Oh, no. Stop. I do show maybe one movie by the end of the year. But I think it's just really important not to let everything else fall to the wayside.
Kids, I'm fighting for you. I've been telling Mrs. Pryor for the past few days that she has to show more movies. So I'm working on your behalf. And to those students of yours, Samantha, who have been tuning in, it is encouraging and a real treat to know that you're tuning in, because Samantha and I had so many of you. I had so many of you a few years ago, and Samantha loves having you now and hearing that you're actually interested in what she has to say.
I do.
And out of the classroom.
Definitely. It's been very exciting to see all the fifth graders come in, a couple in particular who I have heard never miss an episode. So it's been a really great thing to see, and I appreciate your support, fifth graders.
Now, fifth graders, since you've been listening so diligently lately, and I'm sure you all know what that word means by now. If not, I'm sure Mrs. Pryor will have you look it up. But today's topic is parent communication. Now, this applies to teachers mainly, but think of a way that you can be better communicators with your parents, okay, kiddos? But anyway, when we're talking about parent communication, Samantha, when does parent communication begin, would you say?
I think it should begin right off the start of the year. I typically try to send something home over the summer to the students and families beforehand. But starting off the school year is where it should start. In many cases, it begins before then, just with relationships that you've built over the years with families in the building and working with other children they may have had, or family, friends, relatives.
Yeah, I think we talked about this on an older episode. I'm not sure which one, but how the famous Ron Clark likes to do. He does the door to door. He meets every, not only the kid but the family. He goes to each new student to his school. He's a principal of school in Atlanta, Georgia. If you haven't heard of him, you can look him up on YouTube. He's the guy with the really exciting and musically filled and animated esque school. And he's got the big slide coming down. I'm sure you've seen him. But check him out on YouTube if you can. He likes to meet each family, so they develop a rapport over the summer so the kids are comfortable when they come in when the school year begins. And I think that's great. So I would say parent communication starts the minute you have your class lists for the next year and you're able to get the distribution emails, and you can start just touching base and saying hello and introducing yourself. And it makes them more comfortable, and it shows that you're committed to the school year, even though it's summer vacation and we have summers off.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, too, once the school year gets in the swing of things, it can be really easy to get in focus on finding that groove and establishing those routines. But one thing that's really, really helpful is to have everything in print for parents to look up to later, because the beginning of the year for everyone is totally insane. Kids, families, teachers, everyone's finding their groove all over again. So sometimes just establishing a resource that outlines your procedures or contact information, different resources to help troubleshoot potential problems, can be really helpful to hand to the parents, say maybe at back to school night or open house, that they can then reference later on down the line.
Yeah, and one thing that's important to point out is that you use the words totally and groove in the same sentence.
Really?
you did. Anyway, now when the school year is already up and running, and you're still okay, when the school year is already up and running, are you communicating with your parents on a weekly basis, monthly? How are you doing it?
Well, I've done it a couple different ways over the years. We've done monthly newsletters. We've done personal emails through different things. One thing that I've really tried to do over the years is just follow up with some positive emails too, so that not every time a parent's hearing from me, it's about an issue or a concern, but just letting parents know one of the good things that happened, a funny story to share, something along those lines that will help build the positive relationship and that comfort level in the classroom.
Yeah. Anytime a parent sees your name in their inbox, you don't want them to automatically assume that their child did something wrong because they're hearing from the teacher. And I've admittedly slipped into that trap a few times, but over the past couple years when I was teaching, that's when it became more clear that it's always good to... And the thing is, finding the time to do that, because the not-so-good behaviors, it becomes a priority. But when the student is doing exactly what they should be doing, it becomes tougher, because... If the assumption is if you don't hear from the teacher, they must be having a good day. So it's up to us to go that extra mile and make sure we're reaching out to the parents and making it a point to lift their spirits by saying, you know what, your son or daughter had a really terrific day today, and he or she is really on the ball. Now, when it comes to communicating with parents as far as homework goes, some teachers like to use a planner, others use a school website. Do you have a preference, Samantha?
Personally, for the fifth grade level, I really like the planner. It can be on the website too, and I think it's really important to have the online component so that not everyone is always good at writing down their homework or bringing things home or just sharing with their parents clearly what the expectations are. Maybe students don't always understand the expectations as well. But I think having a variety of formats where you can find the information you're looking at is really important. Starting off the year, one thing we really do is all write down our homework at the same time, and we start every class with it, and the students aren't allowed to put away their planner until I've checked. And then throughout the year, I pull back and pull back, and there's always a couple of kids that, you know, will stop writing down their homework and things tend to fall apart, and that's the main problem why. So I think establishing those clear behaviors that are going to help lead you to success.
Yeah. As far as writing down homework goes, when I was teaching second grade, I'd have students write their homework off the board. I'd write it down, and they'd have to write down verbatim what I wrote. Is it verbatim? Is that the word?
Uh-huh.
Is that just for spoken word or written word, too?
I thought written.
Well, anyway. Kids, look that up, would you? Verbatim. Thank you. I'm stalling. Anyway, I'd have the students write down word for word what I write, and then I would check it if they didn't write it down correctly, because in second grade, you want that transferring what they see on the board to paper can be kind of tricky for some kids. So I really stress that if they switch two letters around, I don't tell them what, because usually they only have to write a sentence or two from the homework off the board. So I would have them, I'd say, go back and check it. And they'd go back and check it. And then come back. And sometimes it would be the exact same. They didn't touch anything. And then I would laugh. I'd say, do you think I sent you back to your seat? Because there's nothing wrong with it. And they laugh. But having them, gaining that independence is really important. And I like how teachers, even at the school you're at now, are doing that as early as first grade. So I think that's encouraging. To get them less dependent on their teacher and on their parents and more able to do things themselves. I think that's super important. Now, you mentioned also kids not writing down their homework anymore. I let them dictate the pace of that. If kids throughout the year, I find I don't always write their homework down correctly and I don't really need to check it, I won't say anything. I'll say, okay, if you think I need to check your homework, raise your hand. As the year goes on, later in the year, I'll start checking their homework again to see who's getting too comfortable, as you might say. Because usually there's a correlation, as you mentioned, to the kids who aren't writing their homework down and to the kids who aren't doing their homework. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, and I completely agree. And there's been a ton of instances where a student will be struggling with their homework or struggling with getting things in. And it's just because it isn't clear. They haven't written it down. They can't read their own handwriting. They're not sure exactly what it is that they need to be doing, which then can lead to frustration on their part, on the parents' part, on trying to grade things. It can be a slippery slope. So it all goes back to how do we make this information available for the families and, yes, the parents, but especially depending on the age level, the students too, because that's something they should start taking ownership over.
Yeah. Now, we've talked a lot about email communication and all digital. When do you pick up the phone and call the parents, Samantha?
A lot less now than I used to, sad to say. And I have to admit, I didn't think about it that much until you mentioned it, because email typically tends to be so much more convenient.
Yeah.
But there is a power to that phone call as well.
There is. And I think it shows a much higher level of seriousness. What I'm doing now at my school, calling is always the better route, I feel. But didn't you create, don't every year you create a fifth grade MySpace page for, for the parents to follow? And then you can post everything on there?
No.
Are you, if you're listening, parents, check her out on MySpace. She has
I'm
her own
not
page.
On MySpace.
Fifth grade teacher extraordinaire. Follow her. She has one friend. I bet you can guess who that one friend is. For any of you who never used MySpace, that would be Tom. He's her one friend. Remember the picture?
I remember.
Yeah.
So, Michael, getting back off of MySpace and to what we were talking about before, what are some other ways that we can keep communication open building-wide as well through multiple parents and through the school community?
Getting out of your space, you mean? Oh, getting off. Oh, I see. We're still talking about the website. Gotcha. That's a fair question, Samantha. A lot of schools, every school I've been to, does some kind of weekly blast. And that differs, you know, for emergencies, of course, if there's a snow day or something, they'll send out an emergency text, an emergency email, and they'll send like an automated voice message to your phones. But I find that weekly communication is the bare minimum. And I know at your school, they do the, every Thursday they send something out. Is that correct? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an update of the school to tell you what's going on. So that way, parents whose lives, I'm sure, get even busier than ours sometimes, believe it or not, they can kind of stay afloat at what's happening in their school community, because sometimes life happens and they really want to go to that sock hop or to that big dance coming up, but they haven't planned it. They haven't had a chance to check the schedule to make sure that they can make it. And the student is so busy with work and they don't think to mention it either. So it gets easy to forget. But when something's sent right to your inbox as a reminder every week of this is happening, check your calendars, this is happening, or time to pay your school tuition, this is happening. I'm sure parents love those emails. But the weekly communication is definitely the best bet. And we send ours out every Tuesday. We send out a video message to all the parents. And we try to incorporate what's happening in the school. Like if kindergarten graduation is happening currently. So our principal sat with the kindergartners in their cap and gowns. The cap and gowns, they were behind them. So when he was done with his message, they did they sang a song or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
So it instantly reminds with a visual all the parent community who's watching what the most important thing happening that week is. So it's pretty cool.
And I think too, just being able to establish these habits and these routines right off the start of the year is so important, because things do get busy and it is really easy to overlook. Not overlook, that's not the right word, but it is very easy to get caught up in the busyness, and sometimes those emails can be shorter or tend to come less frequent.
I think especially at this time of school year, for teachers, it can be even more tempting to say, you know what, it's the end of the year, I don't need to mention that the kid did poorly on a mini quiz we had, or the kid had a little outburst in class. I don't need to mention that. Or this kid had a really good week, but the summer's almost over, so the parent will know soon enough that he's doing well. And that consistency that we talked about last week as far as structure in the classroom also applies to our communication, because parents, much like a lot of teachers who are more type A, I guess you could say, they like a plan, they like things done a certain way. A lot of parents are the same way. And although they didn't stumble into our profession, whatever they're doing, they appreciate the consistency. If I'm supposed to get your weekly newsletter on Friday, it's Friday, where is it? And that's not them being overbearing, it's just that's what they expect, because that's the routine they've gotten used to. So you can kind of train the parents the way you train the students too. Is that fair to say, Sam?
Yeah, and it all goes back to the routine of your classroom and the expectations that you set right off of the beginning, as we talked about very, very early on in our podcast.
Now, I think the theme, not only because of the title, but because in every episode we've mentioned it, how life gets busy and things happen and we put things aside. And I think the only reason we mentioned it, we named our podcast this, is because our last name is Pryor, and that was a funny spin on words. But the title itself, Prioritizing, really ties into everything we've talked about so far. Life happens, and we have to make sure that we're putting the most important things first. What important things? Oh, in education and marriage and in life, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard that once or twice. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up right there if we could today. It's been a quick one, but it's Thursday morning and we both have to get going. So again, to those kiddos listening,
thank you.
Thanks for listening. And I actually miss seeing all of you. I really do. I'm sure I'll see all of you around the area. For next week, we're going to be changing topics just a bit. We're going to float back into the marital aspect of things. So you kids who are listening today, tune in next week, because, you know, marriage is, what are you, fifth grade? So marriage is, no, I'm only kidding, parents. Enjoy your childhoods, kiddos. You're in fifth and sixth grade, so don't think about that stuff for now. On a serious note, though, for you fifth graders tuning in, you can take a lot away from what we're saying if you're going to be future teachers, or if you do plan on getting married 20 years from now. 20? How old are they? 10?
Yeah.
They're 10. Yeah, that's fine. 20 years from now. But remember that you have the very best models at home, so you won't need us for that. But it doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt, does it?
No, it doesn't hurt.
No, that was more, that was more parent communication, what I just did right there. See how I gave them a compliment? That was good parent communication. Wasn't it, Smith?
It was. It was very nice. I love that you pointed it out after.
Okay, that's all we got for you. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. Have a great weekend, and God bless you.